We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
You know what's really cool about this? I can turn up the station and my headphones really loud because my voice isn't going to bounce back at me thanks to the fact that John's not here. That is it, because right now it's not doing that. I'll be serious. It's not a big deal. If you were in my seat, you'd notice it and would be bothersome. So I shouldn't even mention it, but when Tim comes in, the same thing happens. So I know that's what it is. Doesn't happen with Deborah Mark, right? You're
nope.
Wearing headphones.
I am wearing headphones. No. Oh,
my voice is not bouncing back at me.
No.
John and Ken show on KFI. That's right. We're live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. I have 100,000 lottery tickets.
What?
How did I do that?
How did you do that, Ken?
I mortgaged my house. Why not?
Yeah, right.
It's worth a shot. It improves my odds like 0.5% or something.
You
like
would
that.
Never do that.
Wow. Now you're challenging me.
You're
after
too
the
smart.
Show, I'm getting online with my bag of money. All right. Deborah Mark obviously is here. It's my best friend over there in the news booth. We're going to give you a new name. You're the presenter, the news presenter. That's very British.
I like that better than the reader that you called me earlier this week.
Hmm. You do read off the screen, right?
Yeah, I do.
How is that inaccurate?
Well, it's not really inaccurate, but I think...
It's demeaning.
Yeah, it's
I've worked hard to get
I'm
here.
A news anchor.
You reduced
darling.
Me to a reader.
I think I'm a little more than that. But anyway, presenter is okay.
All right. We'll have good fun today. We do have the moist line and, of course, the hack for the dumpster coming up. We're going to start the show. Yesterday, we mentioned this. I think it was during this hour that in Washington, D.C., the mayor is asking for the National Guard. Thousands of migrants have arrived there from some border states, specifically Texas and Arizona. At the same time, they found 73 migrants, including 13 kids, in a number of stash houses in Washington, D.C., that they believe are operated by human smugglers. We're going to talk to John Cohen, an ABC News contributor, the former acting Undersecretary for Intelligence and Counterterrorism Coordinator at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. And we've never spoken to him before. So, John, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's nice to be with you. And I will point out that I am a Southern California boy. I was a police officer in Gardena and worked on gang task forces and drug task forces in the 80s and early 90s all across the Southern Empire. So,
all right. So you have quite a bit of experience, especially in law enforcement in your background. The definition of a stash house, this is pretty much what the smugglers do with the migrants to what they get their money.
Yeah, in some cases. I mean, let me put what's going on now in perspective, because I think it's sort of important for people to understand. Right now, if you look south of the border, there are literally millions of people who, over the last 3-4 years, have fled their countries of origin because of violence, poverty, corruption in governments. They are in Central and South America, and they are waiting for the opportunity to come to the U.S. They will pay criminal organizations, smuggling organizations that operate in the U.S., Mexico, Central and South America, to be smuggled across the southern border and into the U.S. In some cases, the smugglers will simply drop them off, you know, in San Diego or in New Mexico or Arizona or Texas, and they'll be on their way, and they will, you know, usually seek to gain entry into the interior part of the country through other means. But in some cases, these smugglers will actually transport them to other parts of the United States and place them in residential and commercial facilities until such time that the smugglers feel like they've gotten adequate compensation for their smuggling. Oftentimes, these folks will be sold into sex trafficking or forced labor, and the money will go to the smugglers for a certain period of time. So this is what we are seeing. We saw in Washington, D.C., one of these stash houses were located by law enforcement, but it's something that occurs across the country, and it's an increasing concern of law enforcement.
It more often happens, though, closer to border locations, right, these kinds of houses? Is it kind of rare for it to happen in a place like, and it says Northwest Washington, D.C., where the median home price is $750,000.
Yeah, but it's not that uncommon to see it in other parts of the country. These smuggling organizations, these criminal organizations will smuggle into other cities. So I've seen it not only in, you know, areas close proximity to the border, but we've also seen it in other cities, New York, New York State, Midwest. So it's not that it's uncommon. It's that we just don't often hear about it, because typically these stash houses are discovered when there's a tip by a concerned neighbor or a family member or somebody else becomes aware that somebody who they know of is being held in one of these stash houses. But unfortunately, the people who witness this don't always feel comfortable notifying the police. They may be here in an unauthorized or undocumented status. So oftentimes these stash houses remain in the shadows.
Now, the buses that have been arriving in Washington, D.C. with the migrants from Texas and Arizona, is that connected to this? Do we know? Or?
Well, it's not connected per se, but it is, I would say, there's a linkage. So Governor Abbott has taken it upon himself, in addition to some other activities, to provide migrants the opportunity to go to other parts of the country. So as you pointed out, I think as of today, I saw reporting that he has provided bus service to about 3,500 migrants and transported them to D.C. He's also sent buses to Alabama, Georgia, North Carolina. And he has made it pretty clear that he's doing this because, one, the current immigration situation is impacting Texas communities along the border. And secondly, he wants to bring the attention of lawmakers in Washington to the problem. The problem is that, in a way, ironically, he's actually creating an incentive for more illegal immigration, because one of the ways these smuggling groups operate is they will provide disinformation or misinformation to those that are waiting to come to the U.S. from south of the border, and they'll try to convey that there's an opportunity for them to gain entry into the U.S. So now what we're seeing, or now what potentially could happen, is they are describing these buses as an opportunity that once these migrants get into Texas, they will be provided transportation to other parts of the country. So that's one of the things that has law enforcement concerned as well.
I wonder how they do this. Do you have any idea? Do they tell them that there's something in Washington, D.C. for them? Or do they tell them that you can find connections to people you know in other parts of the country, maybe easier on the East Coast? I mean, how exactly do you get migrants to board a bus from Texas just to head to Washington, D.C.? He's not incentivizing them with anything, is he?
Yeah, no, I don't quite understand that myself, and I've asked a few people how this is happening. There is advertising within the community, and part of the challenge is Border Patrol and Customs and Border Protection broadly, and ICE have raised concerns because if you're going to move people who may have entered the U.S., who may be awaiting asylum proceedings or immigration proceedings, and you're not coordinating with the U.S. government, then moving them may actually impede the process, the legal process for adjudicating their case. So if someone can't appear for their immigration proceeding because they've boarded a bus and they've been transported to another city, that causes issues. If someone's actually subsequent to their entry into the United States determined to be a risk by Immigration and Customs Enforcement or CBP, and they're no longer where they're supposed to be because they've boarded a bus and been transported to Alabama or Georgia, that could cause a threat to public safety. So, you know, while you know, his purpose may be to bring attention to a problem he thinks is a major issue, he may actually not only be creating incentives for more illegal immigration, but he may actually be impeding public safety efforts to protect against people who are able to get into the U.S. who shouldn't be here.
Now, isn't Biden's Homeland Security, though, also flying migrants to cities around the country, too, is what I read?
Yeah, so part of the way that we handle with this unprecedented level of people seeking to come to the United States is some are placed into residential or sort of custodial environments, but others are released through a program that is called Alternatives to Detention. And what it means is that you have very strict protocols you have to follow with regard to checking in and providing information. And that is how they keep track of people prior to the their day in court on their immigration proceeding. So they will be transporting people to other parts of the country, but again, they're coordinating with state and local officials as they do that because they want to make sure that the humanitarian resources are present to help care for these people.
And what happens to the migrants that were in these stash houses in Washington, D.C.? What's next for them, do you know?
They will be evaluated from a healthcare perspective. They will be identified, obviously. If there are people there who do not meet the criteria for being allowed entry in the United States, they will be removed. If there are people who have a valid claim for residing in the United States or being a claim under the asylum process, they'll go through the process.
All right. Thank you very much, John, for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Talk to you again soon.
John Cohen, ABC News, former acting Undersecretary for Intelligence and Counterterrorism Coordinator at the Department of Homeland Security. And he was on to talk about that discovery in Washington, D.C., a number of houses used as stash houses. Washington, D.C., with migrants being held there, probably until the smugglers got the rest of the money they're due for getting them into the country. And that on top of the fact that thousands have already arrived by buses, as Texas and Arizona governors are trying to point out to Washington, D.C. leaders, and I guess the mayor, too. This is what happens when you're overloaded with migrants all at once. When we come back, we'll not only have the keyword, that's right, the keyword, for you, a chance for you to win some money from KFI and iHeart. We also want to talk about Arizona, because the Biden administration's DHS is building a border wall. Well, sort of. We'll explain more coming up here on the John and Ken Show on KFI. My guest after 2:30 will be Lucy Hahn, Friends of the Jungle. We've had her on a number of times. Both John and I have noticed one of the biggest eyesores in really a nice part of the city of Los Angeles, the Bolona Wetlands over there down in the Playa del Rey area. And it has been just disgusting with the people parking their tractor trailers and beat up cars there and living out of them. And just because they figured they won't be bothered. And because it's the city of LA and it's Mike Bonin's council district, they haven't been bothered. But it's gotten to the point where there have been fires. There have been shootings. It has been horrific, and not to mention the environmental damage. So, you know, eventually the thought was, well, and this got really convoluted. I could talk about it with Lucy. They came up with the thing where if there's nobody in the trailer or in the RV, we can tow it. But if there's somebody actually living in there, well, then we have to call in the service people, right? The ambassadors, the outreach workers, and we have to talk to them and work with them and see if we can find them a safe place to either park the RV or to live in a shelter or something. And I don't think much has happened. That's my impression. that since this came down, I was months ago, I think that was the last time we had her on the show, it probably has led to more inaction. So the reason we're going to talk to her again, she had a visitor yesterday at the Bologna Wetlands, Rick Caruso, who's promising to do something. And that's a big update if he wins the next race for mayor in L.A. in November. All right, Johnny Kent Show, we told you that they are, they're having a problem in Washington, D.C. with migrants. They're being dumped there by the governors of Arizona and Texas, and I think it's a great stunt. That's what the left media likes to call it, a stunt, but it really does point out to them what we're going through down here. And the Washington, D.C. mayor is already calling for the National Guard to help deal with this, and now we heard words of a big stash house, actually several stash houses, with over 70 migrants being held. The next development is also kind of funny. Apparently, the White House has announced that they're going to complete more sections of Trump's border wall. Now, when he was running for president, Biden said that he will not construct any more border wall. That's it. He's going to stop all of Trump's projects, and there won't be any more border wall construction because the walls are racist. Something like that. And then the other excuse, people can just dig under or climb over walls anyway. They don't work. They do work. And in places in California where they were installed years ago when Bill Clinton was president, they have proven to be effective enough. You need other measures, but certainly a wall doesn't hurt. So they're going to seal openings in a dam just west of downtown Yuma, Arizona, called the Morelos Dam. Apparently, that was part of a project that the Trump administration was working on. The dam sits in a section of the border that runs north-south along the Colorado River before turning on an east-west track at the California-Arizona state line. There have been 235,000 migrant encounters in the Border Patrol's Yuma sector since October 1st of last year. Only the Del Rio and the Rio Grande Valley sectors have reported more encounters in the same period. We had mentioned this a few months ago, that Arizona is once again becoming almost ground zero for illegal immigration. Texas still leads the way, but suddenly Arizona just jumped back up again. Everything cycles. Fortunately, California hasn't become, we certainly have illegal immigration, but Texas and Arizona have been kind of switching back and forth with a lot of illegal immigration at the border. So the White House had a media briefing this week, and the spokeshole for Biden, the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, was asked about the project. Simply, wait a minute, you guys are building a border wall? I thought you said you weren't going to do that. Well, her answer was, we're not finishing the wall. We're cleaning up the mess the prior administration left behind in their failed attempt to build a wall. Then the question was, well, but Biden said there will not be another foot of wall construction during my administration. What changed? We're not finishing the wall. And again, these spokespeople are, they're walls. They just repeat the same thing over and over again. We're trying to save lives. And there's a picture of people scaling part of this dam from back in April. And it's like they're climbing up the side of it. If you have seen, you know, the big cement walls of a dam that are kind of sloped, it does look like a pretty crazy way to enter. So I guess there must be something that they're plugging along there. I'm glad the Department of Homeland Security has listened to Arizona, is going to close these gaps. And that comment actually comes from the Democratic senator from Arizona, Mark Kelly. He praised them for filling in the openings. So again, what we're dealing with is semantics. Well, we're not building a wall. We're filling in gaps. And of course, and they like to say this, and of course, Trump said this. Every president for like the last 25 years has said this. The immigration system is broken. I'm just trying to fix what was left behind for me and trying to make sure that it's a safer, cleaner process. And they're trying to say the same thing. But honestly, what they're doing is they are building a wall because whatever they're doing, filling in gaps, the idea is to prevent people from getting into the United States. So it has the same bottom line meaning. All right, when I return, Lucy Hahn will be my guest. Her group is called Friends of the Jungle. And they're all about doing something to clean up the Bologna Wetlands, particularly with all the people that park their vehicles there. Cars, RVs, vans. If you've never seen it, you should go online and look at pictures of it. It's an unbelievable environmental disaster. And, of course, it takes a toll on the neighborhood. She got a visit from mayoral candidate Rick Caruso. And she'll talk to us about it on the John and Ken Show. Next, an update coming up after 3 o'clock. Former LA County DA Steve Cooley is going to be our guest. It's about the signature verification on the recall of George Gascon. As you know, it's with the registrar, hundreds of thousands of signatures on petitions, and they had to go through every single one of them. There's a report that they might be done sooner than we think, but also there's a question as to whether or not recall backers could observe the signature verification process. Much like during the elections, particularly the presidential elections, observers would sometimes sit there and watch them go through the ballots. We'll see. Apparently, they can't do this with the Gascon recall signature verification process, and we'll talk to Steve about that and more after 3 o'clock. Lucy Hahn, Friends of the Jungle, is coming back on the John and Ken show, and she put out on social media quite the picture from the Bologna wetlands, where we have told you before it is one awful neighborhood and environmental mess with a whole bunch of RVs and vans and cars parked there, people living out of them in this environmentally sensitive area on the west side of Los Angeles. Friends of the Jungle is her group, and the picture she sent out on social media along with the message was that apparently she got a visitor. It's none other than the candidate for mayor, Rick Caruso. Lucy, welcome back to the show.
Hi.
How are
you? Thank you. Thanks for having me. Good. How are you?
Good, good. How did this come about?
Well, one of our community leaders knew Rick Caruso and asked him to come out to the wetlands. And there were a few community leaders from our area that were there to meet him and to explain our issues, you know, the environmental issues and the safety issues, the fire issues. And it was a good turnout. It was a good turnout, and it was great for him to go there and actually see it for himself. So we were really happy about that.
So was he aware of what that looks like there? Had he ever been there before? Did he tell you?
I'm not sure. I think he's aware of the area. I'm not sure if he'd actually been there before, but he was definitely shocked. I mean, we had the bike chop shops were out there, the hypodermic needles. And we told him about, if there was a wildfire, it would get to the gas plant and the gas tanks would explode. So that was like half a block away. So and we also told him that that people are shooting guns or BB guns from the RVs up on onto the bluffs and breaking windows. And he was really surprised about that, for sure. Yeah.
How would you say it is today compared to a few months ago? Better, worse, same?
Like, same. Nothing's happened. The city, they're not towing vehicles that are violating parking signs that are located in our environmentally sensitive habitat. Bond still refuses to support parking enforcement. And it seems like city officials are giving us the runaround. So we're just very, very frustrated. And when Rick came down, I mean, it was like a breath of fresh air. I mean, he understands the political system is broken, and he referred to the corrupt politicians and the politicians that don't respond to their constituents. So it sounds like he's ready to clean house and address the corruption within the city.
Now, was he specific about what he could do with regards to this problem?
He wasn't really specific. We were showing him. I think he was just trying to, try and absorb it all. But we do know that he's going to, one of his things for cleaning up the city is he's going to restore ethics back to the all the city employees and as well as promote transparency. And the one thing that we like about him, it's a big thing with his real estate background, he's got access to construction experts that can bring the cost of homeless housing down. Because right now, you've got the homeless industrial complex, which is making tons of money off building housing for the unhoused. Yeah. And with the city right now, it's about $700,000 a unit. And he's exploring alternative housing that could be $50,000 a unit. So we're really excited about that. I mean, if they can bring the cost down, that would be huge for us, all the taxpayers.
Now, this probably goes without saying, but you can't park overnight in these areas of the wetlands where you're seeing
Exactly. You can't. There's no overnight parking. That's a parking law, as well as no tow-away, no parking in other areas. And they're all posted on signs, but it just seems the city right now does not have the political will to tow them. And we're really, really upset. And like I said, we're really frustrated. So we're very, very fortunate to have Rick come down and see what we have to deal with. day to day.
Last time we visited this story, they had some cockamamie idea that they would send people, but if someone's actually living in the RV, then they have to send the homeless ambassadors and outreach workers there to try to deal with the situation. But if the RV appears to be unoccupied, then they could tow it. Did that turn out to be anything?
No, that's true, but they haven't even sent anyone down to offer housing. I mean, not even to go, you know, for the first step.
So, I got people in my town ticketing cars every day. I see them. We have these stupid sweeping days, and they're right out there with their little ticket books. I mean, but this area that's being overrun with environmental devastation, there's nobody there to enforce any kind of parking regulations.
And also the safety. I mean, you've got a lot of, besides the environmental devastation, you've got safety issues from, you know, like a meth lab, just all the crime. What happens is the people, they live in that area, and they ride their bikes into the surrounding neighborhoods, and they steal from the surrounding neighborhoods. So that's an issue as well.
Did you, so you gave him a tour, and did you talk about all these incidents that you've related to us and to everybody else that you're friends of the jungle?
Yeah.
You did,
yes,
yeah.
We did, and he listened to us, and, you know, Bass hasn't even been down. So Bass is Karen Bass, the other mayoral candidate. I mean, at least Rick's coming down and he's hearing our issues. We talked about other stuff besides besides the homeless, but he was listening. He was listening. So we're hopeful if he gets in office that everything will get cleaned up, because that's what he said. If I'm in office, these vehicles will be gone. So,
no media showed up to cover this. Any media show up to see him there with you? Or?
No, there was no media. I think they were saying they were Fox was going to come out, but the reporter came down with COVID, so they couldn't make it out.
All right, Lucy. Well, good thing. I'm glad you're getting the word out. I'm glad that you got Rick Caruso to visit that problem there in the Bologna Wetlands. Really great news.
One more thing. He also said that he would enforce the existing laws which pertain to the unhoused. If they're offered a bed, the unhoused cannot live in our public spaces and streets. So he would enforce that law. So that would be huge for us.
Yeah, because what we found out over the years is that the unhoused, it was nice of you to refer to them that way, they sometimes don't want to go to shelters. They don't want to go to congregate living spaces. Maybe if you give them a hotel room, they might go. And if you give them their own big apartment, that sounds pretty good. And that's where we are now on this ridiculous, everybody wants their own private new apartment housing built for them with all sorts of services behind it, right? You know, job services, counseling services, healthcare services. They want this whole complete package, which is way too expensive. All right, Lucy, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for coming on.
Great. Thanks a lot. All right. Bye-bye.
Lucy Hahn, Friends of the Jungle is her group. You can look it up on the internet. But she had a visit from Rick Caruso, who hopefully will be the next mayor of L.A., because that's really the clear choice over Karen Bass, who both of them, you know, and this is what happens in politics. You don't want to say anything. You can call it controversial. You don't want to stake out too firm a position, you know, but Rick just sounds like he'd do more to clean up neighborhoods than Karen Bass, who's, on the one hand and on the other hand, and this is a complicated problem, and there's so much to deal with. All right, so this is the Bologna Wetlands on the west side, which has been overrun now for several years with these. If you've never seen it, go look at pictures, because it is hard to believe. I know there are people right now listening who's like, oh, my neighborhood's worse, but just the RVs lined up there, and this is supposed to be a place that's protected because it's like a sanctuary. It's an environmentally sensitive area, the Bologna Wetlands, on the west side of Los Angeles. All right, more coming up. Oh, you know what's coming up on the John and Ken show, Deborah Mark?
What?
Where did this come from? Did this come from you or from Eric? Body cam footage of Las Vegas PD arresting the owner of the Husky that was left in the car with his mouth taped shut.
That was Eric.
He put that in there for you. See?
What a nice guy. I'm surrounded by
great
guys.
It came from Ray this morning. He sent it to me.
All right, so Ray gets it. Because I didn't put it on the list, and I'm looking at him like, I wonder where this guy. But we'll play the body because they're confronting the dopey owner of this Husky.
Loser.
You should see. Did you see the video? You should take a look at it, Deborah. You could see the little puppy in the back seat.
No.
It was a very cute puppy.
I'm sure, but I don't want to see the puppy with its mouth taped shut.
No, it wasn't. Distressed. It wasn't.
It's
no,
kind of the direct aftermath.
Oh,
it's breathing hard though.
Poor baby.
And it was on the top roof. It was exposed to the sun, the top of the casino parking garage. So there was no shade that I could see. All right, and the guy went to gamble. John and Ken show on KFI. An update on the recall effort against the LA County DA, George Gascon, a report that observers will not be able to watch them verify the signatures at the LA County Registrar. In fact, they've already been doing it. They may even be done as early as Tuesday from one bit of information that we have. But no, you are not allowed, the recall backers, to watch them as they verify the signatures, much as observers sometimes watch them tabulate ballots after an election. I will talk to the former LA County DA, Steve Cooley, coming up after the news at 3 o'clock. Speaking of the homeless, I was just talking to Lucy Hahn, who's with the Friends of the Jungle, about that horrible situation at the Bologna Wetlands with all the RVs and vans parked along the side and the environmental destruction to the wetlands. Speaking of the homeless, here's the headline. Naked man wanders into Whole Foods in Venice. He lives in the newly opened VC8C complex. Apparently a 6'2", totally naked man, the other day walked into the Whole Foods. He had to be escorted out by security guards. And the kicker is that it turns out that he's a resident of one of these Venice community housing projects that just opened 34 permanent supportive, there's the word I was looking for, supportive housing units at 720 Rose Avenue. See, they like to tell you that once we get them into permanent supportive housing, their lives will change and they'll adjust. I don't know, go shopping naked. I don't really see the reason to do that, but we turn our attention now to Las Vegas. Did you see the stories on the flooding there? That was unbelievable. A bunch of casinos, parts of the strip, the airport. There was apparently one hell of a big rainstorm that came through yesterday and flooded out parts of the city. But before that happened, a couple of days ago, the big story there, sadly, was another one of these people that leaves the dog in the hot car. We now know Deborah Market's a 3-month-old husky.
3 months old. Unbelievable.
We haven't gotten the name of the dog. What happened was the Las Vegas police got a report from security that there was a dog in a car parked on the top of the parking garage at the Bellagio Casino. That's a nice casino on the strip. So they got there, and sure enough, they found the little puppy in the back seat of the car. The temperature that day had peaked at 113 degrees. And the kicker was the puppy's mouth was taped shut.
Disgusting.
Do you know the person that eventually showed up that owns that car and, of course, probably owns that dog? Wouldn't you know it, is from Southern California. Corona Del Mar, which is in the Newport Beach area. We just stink up the whole country, don't we? We have a couple of minutes of the body cam footage of Las Vegas police arresting this guy and confronting him about the poor little doggy.
Where's the dog at?
Talk to him.
All right.
Right here.
He was all with a lot of saliva.
Yeah.
And he wasn't able to breathe.
You're coming on us, sir.
Are you the owner of this vehicle? The Mercedes?
Yes.
All right. Turn around. Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Palms together. Palms together. Don't interlock your fingers. Palms together.
Yeah, cuff them.
You have a husky inside the vehicle?
Take them away.
Any weapons on you, sir? Any ID on you?
Yes.
Mary 23, one in custody. All right. Back to my vehicle. Stand right here. Don't move.
You know what to do with him, Deborah Mark.
Oh, yeah.
Put him in a hot car.
That's exactly right.
Have a seat.
For 2 hours.
And tape his mouth shut.
Going to jail on a felony, willful endangerment of an animal.
Yes.
You realize how hot it is outside? You had the vehicle off, windows up, and you had tape around your dog's mouth.
Sick person.
I love that cop. That cop is my hero.
Oh, he meant business. That.
Oh, he's hardcore.
He must be a dog lover.
Yes. No questions asked. He was just like, boom, you're getting cuffed. You're out of here, guy.
I don't know how much damage and felony that charge he could get is, but let's hope Nevada has tougher criminal justice laws than we have here. His name is Raul Carbajal, and I said he's from Corona Del Mar, 50 years old. You look at the booking photo, and yeah, he looks a little out of it. His hair is all disheveled. He's squinting at the camera. And I don't think this was like 3 in the morning. I think this was sometime during the day, as we said. It was sunny outside. And the dog supposedly had been in the backseat of that car with its mouth taped shut for 2 hours while this fool went inside to gamble. Gamble. It's not like he had a medical appointment. It's something he had to do. Now, they don't say in the story, because we were speculating, why did he tape the dog's mouth shut? I think it could only be so the dog doesn't yell out for help.
Yes, I agree.
To call attention to itself to get him in trouble.
He better not get that dog back.
1 to 4 years in state prison in Nevada for felony animal cruelty.
All right, let's go for the 4 years.
Up to $5,000 in fines at the judge's discretion.
Oh, the puppy is in custody of animal control officials. And is still receiving medical treatment 10 days later.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this happened. I guess it just needs a lot of fluids. It looked okay. We saw the video of it in the back seat. It was just panting. Yeah, this happened on July 20th, so it's about 9 days ago. It was panting while sitting in the back seat, but it looked kind of friendly, just staring up at everybody. Hey,
it's
what's going on?
It's just a baby.
Yeah, it doesn't really understand. But, you know, as we always like to say in the John and Ken show, if he did this that day, how many times has he done this other places he's gone? He just leaves the dog in the back seat and locks everything up. And who knows how many times he's taped the dog's mouth shut because it's, you don't want the dog to be yelling for
then
people.
Then why get a dog? I mean, seriously, just don't get a dog. And
You're lucky somebody noticed this.
Oh, I know.
Somebody must have walked by and just saw it in the back seat because I doubt it could make much sound with his mouth taped shut. All right, coming up next, Steve Cooley is going to be my guest, the former Los Angeles County District Attorney, and of course, one of those behind the effort to recall the current LA County DA, George Gascon. It's a question over the signature verification, because that's what's going on in the recall process now, at the LA County Registrar of Voters office, and whether or not anybody can observe them verifying the signatures. It's coming up next on the John and Ken Show on KFI AM 640, and Deborah Mark has the news now.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1 pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.